Welcome to From Scratch. My name's Nigel Payne, and I'm with
Martin Cousins.
And we're going to talk about webinars today, a little brief entree into that area. And we're going to talk about webinars because Martin ran a very good webinar for the LPI yesterday on curation. And we thought, rather than just talk about one webinar, we'll talk generically. What actually makes a good webinar, both from the person delivering and from the person consuming? So Martin, what are your few top tips for webinars?
Well, I think there are a couple of things there, Nigel. Yesterday's one was interesting because it had a few technical challenges. So I would definitely say on the technical side, you really need to prepare and understand how the technology works and, you know, do run-throughs because, you know, things do go wrong and you do need to know what to do. So it sounds like an obvious thing to do, but you really need to be able to attend to people in the webinar if they're having difficulties. And if, you know, worst case scenario, you know, you lose power, everything goes off, what are you going to do when you come back? What does the presenter need to know? Are you going to have a producer in the background who's helping? Thinking about just resourcing it properly and covering yourself for every eventuality when it comes to what could happen technically. In some senses, that's the stuff you just need to attend to. That's the housekeeping. But in terms of what makes a good webinar, I mean, I do a few client webinars, and the thing that I like, and I think that has worked, being this focus on what is this topic you're going to be talking about and who is it for and why would they be interested? It's something that just needs to be attended to in virtually anything we put out there. It's just like, well, why would anyone want to come to this event? And it is an event. What's going to make it interesting? So I think they're connecting, understanding the audience, what the needs might be, what might interest them, and actually doing something that's really useful is a good starting point. I wouldn't make any assumptions about just because the technology provides you with the opportunity to do lots of different things. I would urge people to just think about it as an event and then play to the strengths of bringing people together. The ones that I'm involved in tend to be quite conversational. So it asks questions, it's try to be as interactive as possible because I think there can be a lot of value in people connecting with each other in the webinar and sharing from each other. That seems to me one of the most valuable things to take place in a webinar.
Yeah, so, I agree. I think you also should be a fun element. I think if you can get people engaged and making amusing comments to each other and generally being relaxed and engaging with the content, you're going to have much, it's going to be much more interesting. You're going to learn more and come away thinking, I've just met 20, 40, 50 really interesting people. Not I've sat for 58 minutes listening to Martin Cousins, who then said, are there any questions? Oh, we haven't got time. Thanks very much. Now, the very worst webinar I ever attended was a US company driven from the US, 72 slides in 58 minutes of droning on, clicking through. And then at the end, we were going to have time for questions. I'm chairing this, so just one quick question, whoever you are. Oh, right, thank you very much. That was wonderful, very good. You didn't even know who else was on the call. There alone had any chance for discussion. That is just boring. So I totally get that. When it's your agenda and you've got something to deliver without a second thought for the audience, it's never going to go well, is it?
No, I think it's a design issue. I'm just coming from my personal experience, and that tells me that this is an event. It's like having people in the room. Now, so if you're going to design something that's really engaging for people, then you need to design for that. And the thing that really fails is this content drop and lots of slides. But you don't need to have a webinar to push content at people. There are many, many various ways to put stuff out there. You could do a video for them, a white paper, an ebook, you know, an article, blog post, whatever it is, you can do that. Don't invite them into something and then make it the most painful half an hour or three quarters of an hour of their life because they're just sitting there, as you say, watching someone click through some slides. I think the design bit is really, really important. That would be the one thing that I focus on. And no one says it has to be an hour long either.
No.
It's a bit like the default for meetings because Microsoft Outlook said it's an hour. And now you can change it to 15 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour. That's all in the design. Why does it have to be an hour? I mean, it's great that people will come along and share some stuff online with you in a webinar. You don't have to take advantage of that fact and say, well, let's make it really long.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I do, and you with me, we do our half an hour webinars. And half an hour is good. You get a lot done in half an hour, and you're not taking a huge chunk out of people's working day. You're in and out. And I think we should practice 15-minute webinars, half an hour, 20-minute webinars, and not just assume everything has to be an hour or worse, an hour and a quarter. I just think that they kind of get too long. And when you've got an hour and a quarter, it allows everything to ramble because it's not tight, because there's no design. It just evolves and delivers and stops. Whereas if you've got something that's much shorter than that, you really have to think about the message you want to get over. And I just think that's fine, just to stimulate thought, get people's views, be interesting, engage people's curiosity, and then clear off. Go away. Let them sort it out.
And I think I completely agree with that. My caveat is really think about what, your knowledge, skills, and experience of using the software.
Yes.
Because it can be a bit of a car crash if you've got lots of conversation going on, you'd like to have a poll, you'd like to review the poll, you'd still like to have the conversation, you're trying to move the conversation on. Actually, that there's, there are lots of things going on at once. And just that's why designing for interaction and engagement is one thing. And then just have a think about how that would work. So you might actually want to have someone else to help you. Some of my client webinars are more like a radio show. It's a conversation. There's two of us. One of them, is keeping an eye on the tech, on the chat box, and making sure that everything's answered and things are pulled out and brought into the conversation. That sort of thing can really help, the person who's delivering the content to go through their stuff uninterrupted and or be interrupted. And I think that's the other thing, is prepare to be interrupted. Think of it as a conversation. It would be that's my number one tip. And then design for that conversation to happen.
Right. Let me sum up. What you said is just think about the topic carefully. Think about who it's for and who's going to be there. And think about why anybody would be interested. Make it conversational. Make it prepare to be interrupted. And seriously consider having someone helping you. Someone else keep an eye on the chat box. Someone else can kind of manage the environment to leave you free to make it a really successful webinar. I think those tips are absolutely brilliant. Save your money. You don't need to buy any books about webinars. You've just got it here in 7 minutes. Martin, thank you so much.